know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Not let me see you get loose. It's going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. A rough night for the city of Cleveland. It turned into a rough morning for yours truly, but a good morning. But it certainly a tough one for the Cavs. The Warriors got the best. I had a bad feeling. Vegas made me nervous with the way things were playing out from the line perspective, and it turned out to be, unfortunately, prescient, I guess would be the word, as the Cavs dropped one of the worst. Looked like they were just out of gas. Warriors with a good move, bringing in Iguodala in the starting lineup, was a smart move by Steve Kerr. And the bottom line is, this Cavaliers team, and Mozgov played, I thought, the best game maybe of his career. If J.R. Smith and Shumpert cannot shoot the basketball,
we're in trouble.
Big, big trouble.
Big trouble.
And Dellavedova, he gives it his all every time. But I think he's the kind of guy that can sneak up on him for like a couple games. But over the course of a 7-game series, they're realizing his limitations and they're putting him in bad spots.
You're absolutely right. And as I talk about football and backups, and Ray Farmer talks about building a team of competitors and building it and getting as much talent and as much competition on this roster, you don't want to have that significant drop off from starter to backup. And we did not see that with the effort, the relentlessness, and the production in game 3 out of Matthew Dellavedova in the starting lineup. And I say this about every sport. You're a backup for a reason. And in some cases, to move on to Ohio State, when everybody asked me about Cardale Jones was a third stringer for a reason.
Yep.
It was because when he got his opportunity, he couldn't grasp the offense. He couldn't handle, the pocket, whatever it was. And that's a lot of the reason why I say, you know, he may turn the ball over to JT Barrett at some point, because all those reasons that made Cardale a third-string quarterback will shine through when given an opportunity to start every football game as the quarterback at Ohio State. I think that's kind of what we saw out of Matthew Dellavedova. We knew the MVP was eventually going to get the best of Matthew Dellavedova.
Yep.
It's, you know, you're talking about a guy that stories have been written about in the last 3 to 5 days about how he shouldn't be where he's at, and he's continued to fight, and he's continued to persevere. And, I mean, that Rudy story can only be talked about so many times before you level off, you take a step down. You don't drop off.
Regression to the mean.
Of course. Exactly. I mean, and you're talking about the most valuable player in all of basketball and this guy. So total, you know, opposites on where their season had gone. But ultimately, there's a few things that I didn't like. As Brian Windhorst, our own Brian Windhorst, ESPN.com's Brian Windhorst reported, you know, props to Steve Kerr. The fact that he went into that 6:30 pregame press conference and lied about who he was going to start.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's
part of the NFL, people would be outraged.
Of course, but that's part of the game. And,
yes.
And the fact that after the game, he admitted, hey, sorry, guys, I lied. And I love that about him.
It's great.
And in some cases, you know, whether it's here in Cleveland, as I talk about how the media pushes players or pushes coaches to try to get the answer that they want to be able to write their story. And in this case, Steve Kerr, on the biggest stage possible in the National Basketball Association, did it his way and ended up working out in his favor.
It did. And you got to tip your cap to the Warriors. They weren't going to go away without a fight, and they came back with a better game plan. And you talked about it was going to be tough for the Cavs if the Warriors got to 100 points. The other thing that's starting to become concerning is the Cavaliers, 33% from the floor again.
16% from three-point land.
Yeah, 4-27 on threes. But they've been consistently, their scoring has not been good. And a lot of people want to complain. And listen, there was a sequence in the game where Joey Crawford was absolutely atrocious.
Horrible.
That late whistle on the David Lee spin.
He's an a-hole, man.
Oh, he's the worst.
Joey Crawford's
I don't know why he's allowed to referee an NBA Finals game.
Right.
I don't understand.
And then also, too, what I didn't like about him is I after some of those calls, as I paid attention to whether it was LeBron, I think Mozgov a few times, Mozgov gets undercut. And I don't mean undercut like knocked to the ground, but because he's so big and they're playing small ball, a majority, I'll say 80% of the contact is from his the calves across his chest down, because they can't get up to his arms, you know, when he goes up in some cases. So they're kind of bodying underneath him. They do the same thing to LeBron James. They, you know, though, that's where the fouls are at. But yet LeBron, J.R. Smith, Shump are all getting these body fouls against the Golden State Warriors, and we can't get a call on the other end. But I started to watch the conversations between a Cleveland Cavalier walking over to Joey Crawford, you know, at a dead ball, whether it's a free throw line or a side out or a timeout, and he's just like shaking his head and like giving him like the thumb, like get out of here, you know, like get to your bench, and like pointing him in that direction. And I'm like, dude, you have to be open minded to hear.
Yeah, listen.
You know, the voice. I mean,
I agree.
It was terrible, and I just don't think at this point does he think he's bigger than the game, because he's been doing it for so long, and it's his way or the highway, and I don't think that should be accepted in the NBA.
I just don't think he should be in games like this. It's proven what he can do. It's just, to me, it's
when he makes his mind up.
Yes, that he can control games, dictate games, and decide what he wants to do. So I don't like it at all. My opinion, don't like it. Now I want to talk a little bit about downtown last night.
Yes,
because, you know, we ran into each other on the street. You went to Barrio, by the way. How was it?
Barrio? Well, Barrio is a two-sided story now, okay?
Okay.
Initially, eight friends, sat down at Barrio, called ahead. They got taken care of, got a table in 5 minutes. The gals up front were a little chippy.
They're a little chippy there.
They're a little chippy you know, I don't know if they're comfortable dealing with a crowd like that. So they're a little chippy, the gals up front. But all in all, they worked it out. We got a table for eight in front of others who had to wait 2 hours for a table. So yeah, thank you very much for that. Margaritas were great.
Excellent. Jalapeno
tacos
margarita.
Were excellent.
Food was good.
Food was very good. Food was fast, which was very impressive as well. So all in all, my wife and the original eight that sat down to eat, great experience. But after we left, my wife gets a text and says, from a friend that says, oh my God, Barrio is the worst. I'm going to get their general manager fired.
Why?
And one of their servers forgot to put in a food order. They asked about the food order. She said, you know, oh my God, I'm swamped right now. Let me go put in your food order. Another 15, 20 minutes go by. They ask for the manager. She comes over, and then the manager gets in the face of one of the gals, another female sitting at our table, and just like chews them out.
Sitting
at my table.
Oh.
So the few people that didn't have tickets to the game,
gotcha,
remained at the table
after
you know, after we left.
Gotcha.
And so that all happened.
And they had a bad experience.
And they had a bad experience just with – and it was just customer service. And also, too, you know, if you've ever worked in retail or at a restaurant – Customer's always right.
That's right.
You know, and so bad experience all in all. But my experience at Barrio was great.
What tacos did you get?
I just did the corn, hard shell, the beef, which was good. Not in the Coke.
The Coke steak is really good.
I know.
Good.
My buddy had the Coke once. He said they're really good.
It's really
I couldn't
good.
Do it. He said he's like a little too much Coke for him. So I was glad I didn't go. But I went with three of the same tacos because I'm easy like that. I just did the steak. I did the cheese, the pico, and some guac on it. And it was bomb. Were good. And the three tacos, I mean, three tacos cost me $9.
Yeah.
And they were like big
filling
for me.
Yeah.
You know, so two margaritas, three tacos, salsa was great.
Less than $20.
My wife and I both had two drinks. We both had tacos, chips, and guac, and we got out of there for like $45.
It's amazing. It's great.
It was great.
Yeah, it is
great.
Good pregame spot. They were so crowded. So this is what I want to talk about. So being downtown last night. So I ran into you, you know, on the streets. You were going into the game, and I was looking for a place to get into, meet up with some people, and you literally Barrio after I passed you, once the game tipped. You couldn't get in. They were at capacity. They were shut down. You couldn't get in here. You could not get in anywhere.
Yeah.
So I ended up actually watching the game at Pickwick and Frolic. They took the big comedy stage down there.
Oh, sweet.
And put a big screen up. And then they had they were serving people around all the tables or whatever. It was actually pretty cool.
By yourself? That's
underground.
Depressing.
No,
I'm just kidding.
So that's where we ended up going. And that was – it was a lot of fun. But it was just totally – I've never seen – it that packed, and it was night and day compared to Tuesday. And I thought Tuesday was as insane as I'd ever seen it.
Tuesday, to me, being at both games and also ending up with two different results from Tuesday to Thursday,
sure,
it's the the energy from Tuesday to Thursday, the aura being put off by the fans was completely different.
I think everybody knew. Like, everybody I talked to, like, knew. I got a bad feeling.
It was exactly. But I think also, too, there's a high portion of those people that are just that
negative.
You know, the Browns are going to go – those people that think the Browns are going to go 16-0 are the same people that thought the Cavs are just going to win out. You know, when you look at just the team that's playing right now and the way they're playing, you can't sustain that.
No.
You know, they have to have a let up. And also, too, Steph Curry has said multiple times on the podium before, after wins and after losses, is they're not playing their best game. And I thought in this chess game that is a 7-game NBA Finals, it's, you know, they pulled out their king, you know, and he's out there now. It's up to David Blatt and LeBron James to put their heads together and figure out a way to knock off that king.
And try to find a way to get it done. I don't know if they're going to be able to, but it really was a cool scene. People were just downtown having literally the best time, partying it
up.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it was a lot of fun. Just see, you know, and I don't know if you know, it's like on East 4th, if you looked up, there were people on fire escapes. Like
in apartment buildings.
Rooftops.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought that was the coolest. Being a barrio, watching the TV, and knowing ESPN and their live broadcast is like
right around the corner,
outside of a wall that I'm sitting behind.
Yeah.
That was really
cool. So it was cool. Then after the game, I went down to Dive Bar.
How was that?
It was good. So the Miz and Dolph Ziggler do a good job hyping up the crowd?
They did.
That's when the Cavs went on their big run, right after.
They did.
So
yes.
They should have had them
Dolph
every time.
Was a little like, he got the mic first, you know, and then the Miz just flat out took it over, you know, and went
bonkers. He went bananas.
He was
having like a seizure.
And Ahmad, you know, Cavs Ahmad, just was like dying laughing because it's like both of them, as large as they are, kind of overtook the camera.
Uh-huh.
And Miz was going just, you know, knocking people over almost, getting everybody to go, let's go Cavs.
He was fired up. So then I went to Dive Bar with the Miz. Ziggler went down there. The Nature Boy Ric Flair did not come out. He was apparently very upset about the passing of Dusty Rhodes, one of his good friends. And then we went to all the way down Dive Bar. And the Miz's friend, my friend as well, Justin Costanzo, is the proprietor. He owns Dive Bar. And so we were able to stay there after.
What time did you get home last night?
Listen, let's not focus on the unimportant details. I didn't get home last night. Let's put it that way.
Was the sun up yet?
The birds were animals were beginning their daily routines at the end of our evening. But it was great. The Miz's dad came out.
Oh, that's
George.
Cool.
George Mizanin, a legend in his own time. And so Monday is Raw, so they'll be back in town Monday for Raw. And in our fantasy football league, the AFFL, the Awesome Fantasy Football League, which I won this year along with my teammate Vince Conde, friend of the show, the Sooning Snakes, that's our team, the belt that we created for our league. We created a real WWE belt. The guy who makes the belts created this belt, and it's called the George. And the face, the main plate of the belt,
which would be the WWE symbol on the World Championship belt. Yes.
So on ours, it's a big gold plate with a picture carved into it of the Miz's dad, George Mizanin.
That's
so
awesome.
It's like his face is like the main plate of the
Does
belt.
Does it spin?
Does not spin.
Does not spin.
No.
Okay. Gotcha.
But it's called the George, and it is probably my most prized possession at this moment.
Really? Even after I give you an autographed jersey, I see how we are.
I said probably. I didn't say definitively.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't say definitively. I mean, it's up there, I'm sure, as you feel, you know, with your Oprah, your signed Oprah picture. It's
Oprah,
be up
Super
there.
Bowl ring are right there.
They're right there.
Yes.
Neck and neck.
Yes.
I understand. Neck and neck, yes. I get it. All right, when we come back, we'll continue to BS. We'll continue to recover from a late night at the Dive Bar. And we will continue to take your phone calls. Well, we'll start taking your phone calls. 216-578-0850. What do you think about this Cavs team right now? Do you think they can get it done? I do. I certainly think they do. Andrew Gribble is going to be with us. The Gribs, the big rest. Going to Sunday is going to be huge for this team, I think. We're going to play a little higher or lower. We got the Friday forecast as well. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford.